VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, I probably don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyways. Our world is filled with bad news. I mean, we think of the ongoing crisis in the Middle East as hatred against Israel intensifies. In addition, we see the rise of China's influence and growing dominion and Russia flexing its muscles, along with North Korea. Here in the States, crime and violence are rampant. Cities across the nation are seeing murder rates that are just off the charts. People are being pitted one against another based on skin color. Sin is running rampant as a nation bends and bows to the agenda of Sodom and Gomorrah. Every day, the cries of unborn babies are silenced at the hands of abortionists. I mean, we are literally falling apart at the seams. And so today's emphasis is going to be on good news. As a matter of fact, it is the greatest good news of all time. Joining us here on the program today, we welcome Preston and Kelly Condra. Preston is a graduate of Oklahoma Baptist University and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He served as an associate pastor for 10 years, then joined the Apologetics Ministry Watchman Fellowship. He has preached in churches and conferences across the U.S. and has served as an adjunct professor as well. He, along with his wife Kelly, who is a Christian college professor, have co-authored 6 books and founded Sufficient Word Ministries. It's a teaching and equipping ministry that conducts church-hosted evangelism and discipleship seminars. Preston, good to have you here. And also, Kelly, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having us, Jim.
Thank you.
So let's unfold this good news, because we're, as you know, in a world of bad news, and the good news being the gospel message. But I'd like to ask you, first of all, is there a difference between having a religion or being religious and being a Christian? I ask this because you indicate in your book that you were religious before you were a Christian. So help us understand this better.
Well, Jim, we do draw a distinction between being religious and being a Christian. Being a Christian is defined by believing the gospel for the purpose of salvation, which we talk about in chapter 1 of the I Have Some Good News book. That being found, the gospel being found in 1 Corinthians 15, where in verses 1 through 4, where Paul says there that this is the gospel by which you are saved, is a saving message. And that message is, he tells us in verses 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. And whoever believes that, and only that, not changing any of its elements or making anything up and not taking anything away from it, but believes that and only that for the purpose of salvation will have, as Romans 1:16 says, the power of God unto salvation. So that's how Christians defined by someone who believes that for the purpose of salvation.
Mm-hmm. That, well, Kelly, doesn't going to church count for something, though?
Well, after salvation, God wants us to assemble together as believers to learn and to study, to encourage and love one another, just like members of a family. But Christianity is a spiritual birth. It is called the new birth. Being born from above, or born again, as some people say it, and it's worded different ways in the epistles to the church. But it's a spiritual birth. It's a connection that comes between the person who believes the gospel and the Lord, where they are no longer dead, meaning separated from God in trespasses and sins, but they are now spiritually alive. And going to church does not make you spiritually alive. Believing the gospel is what makes you spiritually alive.
Mm-hmm. People today.
Jim, I like how Josh McDowell said, a person's not a Christian who goes to church any more than a car, than a person is a garage who's in a, another person is a car who's in a garage.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that, Preston.
I was going to say, going to church doesn't make someone a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes someone a car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What makes someone a Christian is, like Kelly talked about, believing the gospel for salvation than being born again.
Yeah, so people hear that term born again, but what exactly does that mean? What does that term mean?
It it really means to be born from above. So when we believe the gospel, God is spirit indwells the believer. We're born from above. It's a spiritual birth. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:4, you must be born again. And so when we believe the gospel of Christ, we're born into the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
The person who is not born again is spiritually separated from God because of sin. The Bible refers that to as being in Adam. You are still in the family, the human family of Adam. When you believe the gospel, you are accepting Jesus Christ's payment for your sins. Therefore, God can consider you and count you as clean from sin, and he does not have to stay separated from you because of sin. He can now commune with you, and he comes to indwell you. As Preston said, he makes you what is called regenerated. It is, you're generated physically when you're born, and you're regenerated when you are born again.
We're talking today with Preston and Kelly Condra, and they have authored a number of books, but we're talking about one today entitled, I Have Some Good News. It's subtitled, The Gospel, Objections, and Answers. And in this book, you really have kind of labeled, or, you know, set things out in the who, what, where, how, and where platform here. Just unfold that for us. Give us just an overview, if you would.
Right. When we explain the gospel, and Paul really does this for us, Jim, in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, he says, this is the gospel by which we are saved, so we know it's a saving message there. And he details that in verses 3 and 4 when he says that, and he explains the message, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried on the third day, he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. So in there we talk about, we see who he is. Now, Paul doesn't go into detail about who Jesus is, but the rest of the New Testament does. And so we know from that, from the rest of the New Testament, that Jesus is fully God, that he lived a sinless life, he was virgin born, that he's the Old Testament prophesied Messiah. Those things about Jesus, Paul's talking about a very specific person, and he's the one and only Savior. It also tells us there that if he died for our sins, we see what he did. He died on the cross for our sins, which also shows us why we need it. So we see who he is, we see what he did, and if it says he died for our sins, we see why I need it. If he died for our sins, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
In other words, there's nothing else. There's no other payment for my sin. Kelly talked about a payment for sin. There's no other payment for my sin that God will accept except what Jesus did for us on the cross. He's the only one who could have done it. So we see who he is, what he did, why I need it, and how we get it. It talks in there in those verses about this is the gospel which you accepted, Paul says there. So we know that from reading Romans 1:16 that that's by faith, right? And then Paul tells us a little more later in 1 Corinthians 15 that it's by believing. So that's how we get it. So Jesus died for everyone. That doesn't mean everyone's saved. The condition for having that payment effective to your account is believing. So when I believe the gospel, and only that for salvation, in God's mind, he puts his righteousness into my account, and he declares me righteous. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing he mentions twice in that passage, which is very important, he says, according to the Scriptures. He says that twice. And so that's where to find it. Now, you know, I've often wondered, why does Paul say that in that passage? I mean, isn't the point that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day? Well, it sure is, but he's stating his authority here. He's saying this is not man's message. He didn't make it up. This is what God says it takes to be saved. And so this is a message from the Bible. So in a relation there, there's got to be at least a general acceptance that the Bible is true, right? Because why would you believe a message from the Bible for eternal consequences if you didn't think where it came from was true?
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I notice here, I mean, your book is absolutely just immersed in Scripture itself. And I would believe, Kelly, that that's intentional. Tell us why you're so intentional about that.
Well, we really wanted to focus on what God says. So because we wrote this book for Christians to give to new believers or people with questions or people that weren't sure if they were born again or people they know are not saved, we really want to give the Holy Spirit something to use. What I say is not going to save anyone. What Preston says is not going to save anyone. It's what the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit illuminates each person that wants to know so that they can understand and believe that gospel. It says he draws them. Well, how does he draw them? He draws them with the gospel, with the saving message. It has the information that's needed to know to be saved. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to give every opportunity for that person to have their questions answered, not by what I say, but what the Bible says.
Yes.
So the person that's witnessing and using this book or giving it to someone, they don't have to get into an argument with that person. They don't have to debate. They don't have to be an expert on the Bible. They just say, would you be willing to see what the Bible says? And then they show them the verse, and then the Holy Spirit can use that verse mm-hmm. to work on that person's mind.
Yeah, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And
Amen.
Certainly we are seeing so much Scripture immersed in this book, and it really dealing with a number of objections that people have. But it's not based upon what I think; it's what God has said, and that's what you're communicating in this book. This book really centers around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But what sets aside Jesus from other religious leaders? I mean, they're followers of Muhammad or Hare Krishna or Buddha or others. What sets Jesus aside that people need to know?
Well, really, the resurrection sets him apart. It proves his claim of being God. None of the others have that. Muhammad is still dead. Joseph Smith was nothing more than a man, so on and so forth. But Jesus claimed to be God, and he rose from the dead. He also lived a sinless life. That resurrection just proves everything that he claimed about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And
none of
those closest to him claim the same thing
mm-hmm.
for him.
Kelly?
None of the other religions even have a solution to sin. They give you a laundry list of works, try to do this and do your best and do more and try harder, and there's no solution to sin. The Bible stands alone in offering a solution to sin, saying you can't do it. You can't travel back in time and undo your sins. They're already committed. But Jesus, an infinite person, can stand in the place of all humanity and be an infinite sacrifice for every sin. God is telling us it's a gift, it's grace. I'm doing it for you. Just believe it.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you actually get into a number of objections in your book that people have raised, and we're going to be looking at some of those here in this next segment here. Folks, the book is entitled, I Have Some Good News, The Gospel, Objections and Answers. Later in the program, we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of this, but it's a wonderful book filled with lots of scripture to address man's greatest need today. And certainly it's good news that people need to hear. Back in a minute on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can we see any other galaxies with the naked eye?
Yes, we can, Chris. We can see a few stars that seem somewhat fuzzy. With telescopes, we see that these fuzzy stars are really galaxies, each containing billions of stars. And with super telescopes, we can see billions and billions of galaxies. The universe seems to have no end. And that's what we read in Scripture. Jeremiah mentioned that the host of heaven cannot be numbered. Yet scholars were certain there was only about 3,000 stars. Looks like the Bible was right and the scholars were wrong. I suspect that that's true even today. Those who claim it all happened by a Big Bang are wrong. It's the Back to Genesis truth of creation which stands the test of science.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. With us today, Preston and Kelly Condra. They have founded Sufficient Word Ministries, a teaching and equipping ministry that conducts church-hosted evangelism and discipleship seminars. They put out a number of wonderful books, one of which we're discussing today, I Have Some Good News, The Gospel, Its Objections and Answers to It. And let's get into some of those issues here. And friends, we'll give you opportunity later in the broadcast also to call in and participate in the broadcast. Maybe there's something that has impacted you, saying that, no, I don't want to become a Christian because. Well, we're going to address a number of these issues today, and one of the issues that many people grapple with is that God is a Trinity, and they struggle with this concept. For instance, they look at the God of the Old Testament, they see him as being angry and punitive, they want no part of him, but then they look at the Jesus of the New Testament, how kind and loving and forgiving. They say, this can't possibly be the same God. I don't want the God of the Old Testament, just the Jesus of the New Testament. How do you respond to this objection that people have?
Well, you're right. It is a question about the Trinity, Jim. And through the Bible, we do see Trinity, which means the triune God, that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. One God, three persons. What they share, their spirit, their one of a kind, right? There's no other gods. And so we see that throughout Scripture. And that's why I think it, one of the things we touched on a minute ago was that Jesus is God. When people have a difficulty believing the Trinity, usually the ones I've talked to, it's accepting that Jesus is God. When he claimed that for himself, in John chapter 10, verse 30, and in other places, and also those closest to him believed he was God in the flesh. So we see in all throughout Scripture that the Father is God. They're all three God. So, you know, the Trinity is not something that we've just made up. It's that we've gone through Scripture, and those are the things we see.
So with an objection like that, you actually, Kelly, in this book, you print the Scripture verses so the reader who has that objection can say, oh, here's what the Word of God says on the issue.
Exactly right. So for example, in your example, which is one of the objections in the book, in the Old Testament, you know, we have to be rightly dividing the Bible. We have to see the distinctions that God makes in the Scripture. And in the Old Testament, people were under law for much of the time described in the Old Testament. And so when you're under law, laws have consequences when you break those laws. So we do see punishment for the people who were under law, the Jews, and they would receive sometimes a death penalty for the sins that they would commit. Now, after the resurrection, you know, as Hebrews tells us, that a new covenant goes into effect after the death of the person who made that covenant, the testament. So, for example, when you write a will, it doesn't go into effect till after you're dead. So after the resurrection, we see a new program starting, which is grace. And grace doesn't have the death penalty. So it's not that God changed. Mm-hmm. It's that the way he was dealing with his people changed. And we have to look at things in context to make those determinations. So that's why we show that Jesus got angry at people as well, and God in the Old Testament, when he was dealing with Israel, was very kind and loving and compassionate. We show the balance and not just cherry-pick certain verses to make a point that, you know, the Bible isn't true because it's two different gods. That is absolutely incorrect.
Some also reject God because of all the suffering and the evil in this world. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, I reject a God who allows people to die of cancer. Or they may say COVID or some other ailment, or they say, I want no part of a God who's going to allow, who allowed a Hitler to exist or a Stalin to exist, how wicked and evil these men were. How do you respond to that?
One way I respond to that, Jim, is, we, you know, all through the Scripture, we are told that God is good. So, you know, as believers, we start with that assumption as the Scripture does. And really what we're seeing, this objection, though it's pointed at God, what seems to be overlooked is the sinfulness of man. And so the troubles of the world are coming from us, our bad decisions are bad actions. And so it's not God's fault that, you know, anybody chooses to sin. So we believe God is good, as the Scripture says, and that man is sinful, and at times man's going to do the worst things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, Jim, this goes to the authenticity of the Bible, too. The Bible shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't withhold anything. It doesn't hide anything. It tells the truth about who God is and about who man is. And it says man is sinful. And doesn't just tell us that, but also, as Kelly and I have talked about before, it provides a solution for man's sin.
Mm-hmm. Now,
you
mentioned the sin, and you know that God is good and men are sinful and so forth, but many people see themselves as being good. I mean, I referenced Hitler just a bit ago, a very evil man, and most people will measure themselves, you know, to a person like a Hitler or some other murderer and conclude, I'm not as bad as them, therefore I don't deserve to burn in hell. They do, but I don't.
Right, and the Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when Adam sinned, you know, we all become sinners in Adam. And so we're born with that sinful nature as a result of the fall. And so everyone has a natural inclination to sin. You know, I heard, I think as my youth minister used to say, did anyone ever have to teach you to sin?
Hmm.
And, well, no. Nobody, you didn't have to teach your kids to sin. I didn't have to be taught to sin. It's because we have a sinful nature, and that's a result of the fall. And so, of course, we're going to see bad from that. And so, you know, that's a big cause of evil and suffering is man. It's not God. In fact, I think for the naturalist and the atheist, they have more to explain from that issue than do Christians. Because if they believe in evolution, then we should be seeing the opposite of what we're seeing. In fact, we're seeing a devolving
right.
happening, not
right.
actually evolution.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I were on that side, I wouldn't want to bring that issue up.
Mm-hmm. Some would also say, well, I've been a Christian my whole life. Matter of fact, I can't remember a time I wasn't a Christian. I was born into a Christian home, go to church every week. Some will attest to being baptized or confirmed. And how dare you? I mean, they're offended when somebody would dare think that they need to be saved. How do we deal with this, Kelly?
Well, you know, it's funny that we have about 50 objections in this book, objections to the gospel itself. And most of these objections came from people we met at church. We witness at church all the time because all of us, I think, to some degree, understand that God is real. You know, we can blame him for sin. Well, he wrote a big, huge book telling us how not to sin, so he's not the one to blame for sin. But a lot of people are searching. A lot of people are looking for answers. I just saw something on television about Prince Harry and talking about mental health, and it showed clips of all these famous and wealthy Hollywood people and athletes literally sobbing because they were so miserable, even though they seemed to have everything in the world. So people are seeking, but when they go to church, it doesn't mean they automatically understand and know everything. They might not even know exactly how to be saved. And if people are not talking to one another, they aren't going to know either. It doesn't do us any good to assume that someone is saved just because they show up at church or a Bible study or Sunday school or whatever, or throw the name of Jesus around here and there. It just, we have to love people enough to take that risk and ask them, what do you really mean by being a Christian? What do you understand? What do you believe? We've never talked about it before. I'd really like to know what you think. I'd really like to know if you and I agree on this, because I would love to talk about it more. We have to have a loving curiosity about what other people understand. I mean, decades ago, Billy Graham said that 2/3 of church people weren't born again. It can't be lower now.
Yeah. Preston, some view of this big, massive scale in heaven where God is going to weigh the good things against the bad things that I've done. Does such a scale exist?
No, it doesn't. I mean, think about it for a second here. How could something I've done good replace what I've done bad? The bad that I've done is still there. So the good that I've done can't possibly take that away.
Hmm.
There has to be some sort of solution. There has to be a payment. God demands that.
Yeah.
And there's one. And the question is, what's the sufficient payment? Everyone's gonna pay that debt of sin. It's just that you can accept the sufficient payment, which is what Jesus did on the cross for us. Anything else is insufficient. So it's not. There's no replacing the good, replacing the bad. I had a conversation with a Muslim imam years ago, and that's what he told me was the difference between Islam and Christianity, is that, Preston, I do the best that I can, and then Allah, I hope, will step in and do the rest.
Right.
Hopefully my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds, and I can go to heaven. Well, consequently, he didn't have security. Well, as a believer, I can have security because I'm resting in the work of somebody else. I'm resting in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And that really is the question everybody has to answer. Is what Jesus did on the cross sufficient for the payment of sin, for my sin? Is it a sufficient payment for my sin, or is it not? How you answer that question determines how your sin's paid for.
And this is a common theme in religion, the good deeds outweighing the bad deeds. I mean, think about this in a normal court of law. Well, I saved someone's life today, so can't I get off the hook for murdering someone yesterday? It's preposterous. Nobody would think that was just. And God is certainly not less just than us.
Friends, we're talking to Preston and Kelly Condra, and they have written, I have some good news. The Gospel, Objections and Answers. It's a short book, relatively. I mean, it's 127 pages, 128 pages, 129, but it gets right to the point of the Gospel by which we are saved. It defines the Gospel. Chapter 2, who he is, then what he did, why I need it, how to get it, where to find it, and then also what the Gospel isn't. There's also an index of objections. This book is a powerful tool, and as you mentioned, Kelly, this is your desire for believers to share this with an unbelieving individual, for them to read through, and the short chapters that are here and segments here, but to really grasp what the Gospel is, why they need it, and how that need can be met.
Yes. That's right. This is a companion book to another book that has been on your show, By Which We Are Saved.
Mm-hmm.
That book was written for the believer. This is very similar, but written to be given away to the unbeliever.
Friends, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to share with you how you can obtain a copy or copies of this book designed to be given to unbelievers. Maybe it's a skeptic at work. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a friend or loved one that lives miles and miles away from you. But we'll share with you how you can get a single copy or multiple copies of this book in order to share with others. And that's the purpose, friends, when we consider the darkness of the night around us, how badly this world needs the Gospel, how badly this world needs Jesus Christ. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
While living in this era of pandemics, economic chaos, natural disaster, and political strife, you may feel tempted to question whether God is in control. Yet when you look to the Bible, you'll find these events actually signal that His promises will soon be fulfilled. In the book Aftershocks, author Jeff Kinley reveals how current societal and global trends foreshadow the nearness of the end times, and how the prophecies about what is to come should renew your passion to lovingly proclaim Christ. Aftershocks addresses the global crisis, the rise of anti-Semitism, the end times economic collapse, and how the COVID pandemic is being used to promote globalism. Aftershocks is available for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, the gospel, the good news. In a world of bad news, this world needs good news. And it's a message that is one that's going to save us from eternal judgment. It's a message that reveals who saves, what he did. We're referring to Jesus Christ, why we need it, how we get it, where to find reliable information about it. The gospel, however, widely doubted, disputed, and denied, and this book answers so many of the objections. As our guest mentioned, Preston Kelly Condra, approximately 50 objections are listed in here with biblical responses to those objections. So a person reading this will say, yeah, what about this? And all of a sudden they're confronted with what Scripture says. And we are making this available as a means for you to get in the hands of others to share the good news. And I no doubt you can think of individuals right now that that you've been witnessing to, or you have a burden for. And as I mentioned, on the job site, or in your neighborhood, or a relative across the United States, you know, in a many miles from you. And just wish you had something, a tool to get into their hands to address many of the issues that perhaps you've had conversation concerning. This book entitled, I Have Some Good News, The Gospel, Objections and Answers, we are making available for a donation of $14 or more for a single copy. $14 for a single copy. However, if you'd like three copies of this book, we're making that available for a donation of $32. Now, the book normally retails for like $15 to $16 on most sites, but we're making a single copy for $14 that includes shipping to you, three copies for a donation of $32, or five copies available for a donation of $44. The goal is to get these into your hands to give out to other individuals. I have some good news, and my, do people need to hear that good news today. If you'd like to obtain this book, I Have Some Good News, you may call our switchboard here at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You'll also find it available on our website, vcyamerica.org. That's vcyamerica.org. But one copy available for donation of $14, three copies all going to the same address. We're going to ship these to you. You can write a personal note to others as you send them out, but three copies to the same address for a donation of $32, or five copies all to the same address for a donation of $44. Preston, what is your desire that this book would accomplish?
Well, we would like to get it into the hands of unbelievers, and we want it to be an encouragement, too, for believers to share their faith. Mm-hmm. We found this to be helpful with us, ourselves. When we talk to people and they raise a question, why we take them to the index of objections in the I Have Some Good News book and show them where it is, and then we give them the book and say, why don't you read that? Maybe we get back together again and talk about that later. And because we want to really hear what they think, and we want them to take time to chew on it, to see what the Bible says, and let the Holy Spirit use that in their mind. So we think this is a good help for the believers individually, but also it's easy to teach in the churches, Jim, for a Sunday school class or a pastor-led Bible study or a youth minister-led Bible study. So with all the verses in there and the way that we have it laid out, it's very simple to use for teaching.
Some of the objections that are in here, friends, are ones that are so common among people today. So under each section, each title, a section of the book, objections to who he is, those who say that Jesus isn't God, or the Bible has two different gods, or God wouldn't send anyone to hell, or objections of what he did. He didn't die for everyone's sins. I don't need it. I'm a good person. My good deeds outweigh my bad. Objections to why I need it. Religion is for other people. I don't have a sin problem. God made me this way. I'll believe later. Christians are hypocrites, so it deals with all of these. Objections to how to get it. What about the guy who hasn't heard? How can you say you're right and everybody else is wrong? Faith is just a blind leap. Jesus, believe in Jesus. The details are not necessary. I just believe that there was a Jesus. And yeah, I'm saved as long as I don't do X, Y, or Z. You know, that's there as well. It's all laid out in this book, and that's why it's so helpful to you, listening friend. And it's available on our website, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 800-729-9829. I'd like to address, I've got enough questions for a couple hours here, but let me ask you this. You warn in this book against decisional regeneration. What do you mean by that?
Well, some branches of Christianity object to faith itself. They think that faith is work. So some sides of the issue will say, well, you can't really believe it, and so trying to convince somebody of something wouldn't really be fruitful. On the other end of the spectrum are people that try to get people to, quote-unquote, make a decision. And making a decision, like I get called, maybe the church does an altar call and someone, quote-unquote, makes a decision for Christ. And they go forward and they intend to be a Christian. They want to be a good person. They want to obey God. They have every good intention, but they don't actually understand the gospel. Mm-hmm. You must understand and believe the gospel. Hearing, faith comes by hearing. So you must hear it. You must understand what you're hearing. It is not a leap in the dark. It is not crossing your fingers and hoping you're all right with God. You must understand the contents. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pass a theology seminar to get saved. You mm-hmm. can believe with the faith of a child. But something Preston often says is that if you're denying some part of the gospel, like, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. But no, he wasn't God. If you're denying some aspect of the gospel, you cannot at the same time believe it.
So it's not the act of walking in an aisle. It's not, oh, I put my hand up, so therefore I'm saved. It is that belief in the gospel. It's that trust in the person, the work of Jesus Christ as my substitute for my sin, not the act of me, some physical gesture here.
That's
correct. And we talk to people a lot. We talk to thousands and thousands and thousands of people about this in decades of ministry, and we find so often that people were just like us. They were raised in church, they thought they were Christians, they really didn't understand, but nobody ever asked them what they believed. Nobody really said, what do you really understand about Jesus? And we meet these false conversions all the time where they say, you know, I just realize I don't understand anything. Or you ask them about their faith, and they can't explain the gospel. They can't really tell you anything about it. And I used to witness as an unbeliever. I could tell people Jesus died for my sins, but my definition was wrong. Jesus was my Savior, but he was not everybody's Savior. Other people had their own way. So that was my objection to the gospel. And it's so important to understand what people really believe and not just to say, oh, they made a decision, they went forward, they got baptized. You know, that is not salvation. Mm-hmm. When you ask somebody to do something, you can tell them, this doesn't save you. The gospel saves you, not what you're doing. But come and do it anyway. They are going to believe that what they did mattered. They're going to put their faith in what they did. They prayed that prayer. They went forward at that altar call. They made that decision for Christ. They will put their faith in what they did. That is human nature.
Hmm. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, and I'd like to actually, maybe you're a skeptic. Maybe you have had objections to the faith. Maybe you are one who has had something that's kept you from coming to Christ and want to call in and share with our guest today. Or if you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today, a very brief comment, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you have a question for our guest today or brief comment, again, 800-733-9829. With us today are Preston and Kelly Condra. They are with a ministry called Sufficient Word Ministries, and certainly are helping to equip and build up the body of Christ by teaching and equipping believers to share their faith, to share the gospel, to share the good news, and what a powerful means to do that. Also, you have a website that people will find helpful information. Tell us about your website.
Yes, Jim, our website is sufficientword.com, sufficientword.com. You can find information about us there. You can also contact us on the website as well. I believe our email address is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have any questions they'd like to ask us personally, that'd be a good way to do it.
Okay, again, that's sufficientword.com. And friends, we're taking your calls here today at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Aaron in Grafton, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Aaron.
Hi, thank you. My question is regarding my father and my stepmom. Well, actually, my father, my stepmom, and my mom, a lot of my family who are Catholic. And the conversation I had with my dad one day was I asked him, really, what is your belief in who Jesus is? Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? His response was, well, Jesus is love. That's all I need to know is that I believe in love, and that's my answer. And he was really well trained in the Catholic Church. He was trained to be a priest, actually, at one point. So that was his response. I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Aaron. So how does Aaron respond to them? I believe, yeah, Jesus is love. As long as I believe that, I'm doing good here.
For more detail on what he believes about Jesus, and in particular, does he believe that his death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for the payment of sin, and if anyone will believe that, they would have salvation? So I would ask for some clarification on more on what he believes about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, using the Word of God is so important here, Kelly.
Yes, it's very difficult. I feel for this person. It is difficult to share the good news with people who are so religious, because Preston and I were both that way, and it's hard when they're already trained in something. Keep asking questions, just in a loving, patient manner, to keep saying, what do you think about what Jesus did on the cross? Why do you think he had to do that? I was just witnessing to a Catholic last week, actually, and this person had a lot of faith in Mary, and you know, just talking to this person about the fact that Jesus is the Savior and Mary is not God. She can't hear every prayer in the world. She'd have to be God to hear every prayer in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And just kind of weeding apart, slowly picking away at some of those different Catholic beliefs. That is, we will be praying for that.
Let's go to Ann in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ann, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to thank you for the show today. And you did point out how there's so many people out there that are not believers, and to point them to things. And I think the biggest thing you can point to is what's happening today, prophecy. It's all unfolding right before us.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched a documentary that had nothing to do with Christians, but it had the whole swath of all people that are, it's called The Pushback by Oracle Films. Are saying, something's happening, we have to do something. And what's happening is the bittersweet truth of the Bible and the Christian walk.
Thank you for your call here today. Certainly we can look at world events and shows us how badly we need a Savior here today, Preston.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, whether things are going good or going bad, you know, really our mission doesn't change, does
right.
it?
I mean, no.
We're still to present the gospel to everyone we know, and so we want to encourage people to do.
Quickly, Kelly.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your calls here on Crosstalk. Also, we'll give you information on how you can obtain copy or copies of I Have Some Good News. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Tom Rentz is an attorney, and he worked with frontline medical doctors. They have just signed a temporary restraining order in federal court, in fact, in the Northern District of Alabama. What are they seeking to do? To stop the pushing of the COVID vaccine on children 16 years of age and under. The number of doctors testifying in this legal briefing is staggering, including one that was Family Physician of the Year in 2016. He said there are zero cases of young people 16 and under dying from COVID. And yet, we're forcing onto many of them, like 130 institutions, to go to college now. the COVID vaccine that is not by legal definition a vaccine. It also has not been tested long-term nor on pregnant women. It could make children sterile. We don't know what the consequences are to their immune system, and yet we're forcing it on children. I agree with their legal briefing. I'm Brandon House.
Again, our book here today is entitled, I Have Some Good News. It's the gospel, but it's objections and answers. So many objections that people raise today. But folks, there's the biblical answers right here in this book. It's all right there. And the scripture verses are printed out for your help and convenience and for them to read for themselves what the word has said, what Jesus has said through his word. And we have this available, one copy available for a donation of $14, three copies all to the same address for a donation of just $32, five copies for a donation of $44, again, all going to the same address, available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 1-800-729-9829. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Linda is calling in from Olney, Illinois. Linda, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question on sin. If we sin and ask for forgiveness, God said he throws it into the forgetful sea and remembers it no more. So whenever we die and we go to heaven, we get judged. Are we going to be judged on that sin?
Thank you, Linda. I'm going to hang up with you so we can use this line for our guests. Thank you for the call. Your response to Linda. Preston?
I would say when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all sin, for everybody's sins. And so when we believe the gospel, in God's economy, we are declared righteous. So our sins are all forgiven. Paul says that all our trespasses are forgiven. And so I don't have to continually go back to God to ask him to forgive my sins, that in Christ I am forgiven.
But we do need to confess our sins before him, do we not?
Yes, we do. We confess them. It's not like we're begging for his forgiveness, but yes, we confess him to keep the fellowship,
right?
Restore the fellowship.
But, and that's agreeing with God that what I've done has violated right. What he has laid out for us.
Yes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
There is discipline for the believer if they persist in sin. That's in Hebrews 12.
Okay. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Wanda, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for the guest. I've been trying to witness to someone about 100 miles away, so it has to be by phone. And she's in her 70s and never has gone to Sunday school and church, and, you know, she's about to run out of warranty. And I wanted her to know about Jesus before it's too late, so I've been doing a little bit at the time on the phone. Have you got any suggestions for me?
Thank you for the call.
Just keep going back to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and the elements. And if you decide to get this book, use the objections in the back, the index of objections. It will give you ideas for things to bring up with her to find out if there's something she doesn't understand.
Thank you, Nancy. Let's go to Barry in Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering, how do you deal with the people, the Acts 2:38 people that believe in, yeah, that you're only saved if you're baptized in Jesus' name. They don't believe in the Trinity. They just believe in baptism in Jesus' name only. Actually, they deny the person of Christ and what he did on the cross, and it's his name, and nobody else can baptize. It has to be done through them.
Okay. Thank you,
Barry. Yes, I understand that. That audience was Jewish. They already believed in God. They did not believe in who Jesus said he was, and that's what they had to repent, meaning change their mind about. They had to stop saying, oh, that's just Joseph the carpenter's son. They had to repent regarding him in specific.
Okay, thank you for the call here today. Taking your calls here on Crosstalk, we have David in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for both of your work in evangelism. My twin and I were both raised as a Catholic, and my parents and I got saved, but Mike wrote a tract. He was baptized, confirmed, sacramentalized, but never effectively evangelized. I got saved at 38 years young and been preaching the gospel for 30 years. And when a person is born again, that's when their spirit comes alive, and no religion or ritual can do that. And when you get saved, you become a child of God. Christos means anointed, empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing is that we have to be, we become a child of God is what I share with them. Then you can know the Father's love. And there's chick tracks I used when I got saved. Mm-hmm. So I got saved through the gospel through WBCY. And the chick tracks I found out are good for the Catholics. Chick.org was a Catholic World War II veteran, but there wasn't saved.
Thank you,
David. Someone shared the good news with them. God bless you.
Thank you. Paul in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes, we've got one of his objections is God created Satan. God knew that Satan was going to go rogue, so God's the author of evil, and he likes to see us suffer in our suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got two or three objections like this.
Sure,
just wondering how you'd respond to that.
Thank you, Paul.
God is love. And love is only love when it's freely chosen. So we had to be created with a free will to choose him. You can't say, I love you so much, I'm going to lock you up in a closet and force you to love me back. Satan had to be free to choose, and we have to be free to choose. That does not make God the author of sin. It just puts the people in heaven that choose to be there.
And God's not guilty by association, because someone
else
makes a bad decision does not implicate God.
Correct.
Great, thank you. We have run out of time. I want to give you each here about 30 seconds in conclusion as to your challenge here to our listeners tuning in here today. Preston, let's start with you.
Real easy way for you to share the gospel if you're a believer is just to become familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, which calls itself the gospel by which you're saved. It's a saving message, and it's simple. Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead, according to the scriptures. That is a really, God made it real easy for us to share the gospel right there.
Kelly?
Please, please do not ask people to make a decision, pray a prayer, follow Jesus, ask Jesus into their heart, nothing. Just ask them to believe the gospel and make sure they understand it.
Okay. It's not those physical things we do. It is the gospel by which we are saved.
Yep. It adds confusion otherwise.
Friends, again, I have some good news. It's a handy book that is, as I mentioned, it's 120-some pages and be a great help in witnessing to others. It's designed to give to others, and all the, not all, but 50 of objections approximately are in there. We have one copy available for donation of $14, three copies available for donation of $32, or five copies for a donation of $44, all going to the same address, available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call 800-729-9829. Our website for our guest today, the Condras, sufficientword.com. Preston and Kelly, thank you both for joining us here today on the program.
Thank you.
And folks, thank you for stopping by here on Crosstalk today. Remember, it is the gospel by which we are saved.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.